This is D.L. Hudson. Welcome to Church and Culture. This show is devoted to exploring the interaction between our faith and our culture. Each week, I will talk with expert guests on topics ranging from literature, art, and music to politics, liturgy, spirituality, and education. Thank you for joining us. My guest today is Michael Hitchborn. Michael Hitchborn's been a friend for a long time. He is down the road in Stafford, Virginia at the American Life League, where since 2007, he has been the host of the American Life League Report, as well as director of a program called Defend the Faith, which has helped bishops across the country to defend the church from attacks. Now, Michael Hitchborn has made a reputation about a very specific set of issues regarding Catholic institutions that have been set up to help the poor, to help the vulnerable, to help those in need. You know, basically social service organizations such as the Catholic Campaign for Human Development and also Catholic Relief Services, which intervenes all around the world in times of tragedy, but also in day-to-day life, trying to raise the standard of living for people everywhere. He has, and this is why I've asked Michael to come on the show, he has become an expert in the inner workings of these organizations, their grant-making processes, their sources of income, and just simply how they are run and how their mission is implemented, and often has found that really what's going on in these kinds of institutions are not always what we would like to see in Catholic institutions. Michael Hitchborn, welcome to Church and Culture.
Thanks, Dale. It's always good to talk to you.
Now, I think the thing that we should start off with is I think a lot of people don't realize that Catholic Relief Services and Catholic Campaign for Human Development are both officially organizations belonging to the USCCB, the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, correct?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, the Catholic Campaign for Human Development and Catholic Relief Services are kind of two sides of the same coin. One is the domestic relief effort of the U.S. bishops, and they focus on poverty, but it's more organizing rather than actually giving an aid or giving a handout to people.
So one is domestic and one's foreign.
Yeah.
But they have rather big budgets, but I'm guessing that the budget of Catholic Relief Services is much larger than that of the domestic Catholic Campaign for Human Development.
Oh, significantly larger. Yes, absolutely.
How much money? Can we sort of get the raw numbers out there on both those organizations?
Well, Catholic Campaign for Human Development is hard to peg as far as how much money they have in their budget, but typically every year they grant anywhere between $7 and $12 million to various organizations. That doesn't include their salaries or anything else, but that's they're primarily a granting agency. So
now I'm going to ask the question that is going to dominate this entire conversation, even before we get to the figures on Catholic Relief Service. What percentage of the money that is granted by the Catholic Campaign for Human Development, again, an official organization under the umbrella of the USCCB, how much of that comes from, say, directly from Catholic donations, and how much of that comes from the government, whether it's federal or state in origin?
Now, the Catholic Campaign for Human Development is a little bit harder to peg because, as an agency, it doesn't file tax forms. And, in fact, the USCCB doesn't file tax forms that are reviewable anywhere. But so as far as how much it pulls in with government money, I actually couldn't say.
Well, I remember 10 or so years ago, Rick Santorum, when he was a senator, gave a speech in New York to a large group of Catholics where he, I think he named the number 68%, and he got really a lot of heat for that because I think that just a lot of people didn't want Catholics in general to know what percentage of these programs were being essentially funded by the government. Well, let's move over to Catholic Relief Services, where you do have some solid numbers.
Absolutely, yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, what we've got here, and I'll just pull up Catholic Relief Services 2013 tax form 990. We've got them pulling in. I've got it right here. They pulled in $427 million through government grants and public grants, meaning like USAID or some of those other non-governmental granting agencies. But that's about 70% of their total operating revenue.
And this is an organization that is called Catholic and is actually officially Catholic because it's under the aegis of the USCCB, the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. Has it always been that way? I mean, how far back have you gone in looking at Catholic Relief Services? At 70%, you could almost say it's a kind of a de facto arm of the federal government. Is that too harsh?
No, I actually think that that's probably an accurate description. Going back, I mean, as far as 2008 here, I've got their financial summary right in front of me. And again, it says 70% coming from U.S. grants, commodities and freight, and public grants and contributions. So you have an agency that is primarily funded by the government and public grants and loosely funded by the Catholic Church, which means its alliance is going to be more towards the larger amount of money that it's receiving.
Well, let's play devil's advocate on their side.
Mm-hmm.
I remember back during the George W. Bush years when he was talking about faith-based initiatives, and he was arguing that if we're going to have federal assistance programs, we should put money in the hands of individuals and organizations whose mission was very personal, that it was motivated out of religious faith, because studies that Bush had seen back when he was governor of Texas suggested that these types of organizations were a lot more effective in the money they use than were totally secular organizations.
Well, you know, I think that it's fair to say that maybe the government has some role in aid assistance. However, when an agency that belongs to the Catholic Church is pulling in well over half of its annual revenue from a non-Catholic source, this money does not come without strings attached. And even though CRS may protest to the contrary that, well, you know, we have conscience objection clauses that are written into it, eventually the kind of entanglements that they are forced to participate in will bleed into the culture of the agency itself. And we can talk about that because the organizations that they've been giving money to are radically against church teaching and, in fact, are acting against the Catholic Church specifically. So that kind of rhetoric really doesn't have any room when it comes to an organization that should be run by the Catholic Church.
Well, actually, I was asked by President Bush myself to run the first meeting of the faith-based initiative in the White House in 2001, and he specifically asked me to bring in small, sort of what you would call mom and pop organizations. In other words, he didn't particularly want the focus to be on the large, established, multi-million-dollar Catholic social service organizations. He wanted the small and medium-sized programs because these are the kind of programs he saw as being the most cost-effective and just the most compassion-effective.
Sure, and let's face it, when looking at it from a proper economic perspective, it is the local economy that actually builds the larger economy. When you have something that's run from the top down, eventually you wind up with a vast difference in classes from the organization to the people or from the agency to those that they're trying to help.
Well, it's harder to keep a Catholic identity.
Well, absolutely.
Well, okay, now, so we've established a fact. We've established a fact that Catholic Relief Services with a budget, what's its total budget, over $500 million?
For, let's see, for 2013, their whole budget was $606 million.
Of which $475,000 came from the government, came from the citizens.
Yes.
And so we're actually paying into Catholic Relief Services two times. We're paying into it from the money we give to the church,
mm-hmm.
and then we're paying in it from the money we give to the government.
Absolutely, yeah.
So we've established that 70% of its budget comes from federal sources or state sources to do good work, to do the kind of work that all men and women of goodwill want to do. However, isn't it the common sense of the matter that when that much of your money comes from a secular source, particularly a secular source that has church and state issues, that has demonstrated a difference of agreement in some basic moral norms on abortion, on euthanasia, on contraception, isn't there going to be a huge conflict inside the organization? I mean, simply the thought of perhaps losing 70% of your budget over, say, contraception, wouldn't that make you think twice?
Oh, I think that it has caused CRS to think twice.
Same thing with Catholic Campaign for Human Development, right?
Sure. Well, with the CCHD, it's kind of a different beast, only because the their whole philosophy is a little different. Their approach to aid is not actually the handout, but to fund organizers who are completely allied with, say, the Democrat Party.
Well, which isn't in itself a bad thing. Because regardless of what party you're aligned with, it's what you do with the money when
sure.
you get it and what is, you know, who your partners are. I think what you showed in your reports about the Catholic Campaign for Human Development is that some of the coalition partners were publicly and unambiguously pushing abortion, pushing gay marriage, pushing
yep.
contraception. And so the question became, should the CCHD be in partnership with those organizations?
Absolutely. And in fact, it was because of our efforts that a whole new set of guidelines was adopted by the USCCB. And now they, at least on paper, they strictly forbid organizations receiving grant money from the CCHD to be in partnerships with organizations that promote abortion or contraception or anything antithetical to church teaching.
Well, that's good. Congratulations on that achievement. But it looks like we have, or you have, a much larger bear to grapple with when it comes to Catholic resources. After all, the former and longtime head of Catholic Relief Services is now the ambassador to the Vatican under President Obama, Kevin Hackett, correct? Ken Hackett.
Ken Hackett.
Yes. And so you have an organization that has received a lot of good press and a lot of credibility by its president being named as ambassador to the Vatican. So its Catholic credentials appear to have been, for lack of a better term, kind of pumped up.
Well, yeah, I mean, the Catholic credentials of Catholic Relief Services is absolutely pumped up. Ken Hackett was he was somebody who did a book review for Jeffrey Sachs's book, The End of Poverty.
Well, you better tell our listeners what that is now.
Sure. Well, that book by Jeffrey Sachs. Jeffrey Sachs is the head of the Millennium Project, and what he did, he is all about population control. In his book, The End of Poverty, is all about how the best way to fight poverty is to reduce fertility rates throughout the world. And Ken Hackett wrote a book review of this book saying that it was a must read for the cause of development and a great boon for anybody interested in the subject.
Well, he's gone now, and there's a new president there. What is her name?
Carolyn Wu.
Carolyn Wu. And so it's a new generation taking over leadership at Catholic Relief Services. Is there any sign of change there since Hackett left?
Well, I actually met with Dr. Wu, and I told her a lot of the concerns that we've had about Catholic Relief Services and the fact that it's giving tens of millions of dollars to organizations that are themselves dispensing contraception and abortifacient-safe abortion kits. And she said that she was going to look into my concerns and she would consider everything, but I haven't heard from her since. That was over a year ago.
So you have specifically found evidence that Catholic Relief Services, which is an official arm of our bishops' conference, is involved in programs specifically promoting contraception and use of abortifacients?
Absolutely.
Well, you say absolutely. I mean, what if someone were to say, oh, no, you don't. Sure, you don't. I mean, this is being overseen by our bishops. How can you be so blithe in saying absolutely? What's your proof?
Well, I've got a full report on our website, Catholic.
That's at American Life League website?
At AmericanLifeLeague.org.
Yeah.
If you go to our website, you can see the full report. Or if you just do a Google search, CRS and American Life League, it's the number one search. But the major thrust of our report, we went through their tax form 990s, and we found about $65 million from the year 2012 that they granted to about 40 different agencies. And we looked into what these agencies were doing. And I'll just give you one example. They gave about $2 million to a group called Population Services International. Population Services International was founded by a pornographer for the very specific purpose of population control. Every single place that Population Services International operates is for the purpose of spreading contraception. And that's what they do specifically, is spread contraception.
How much money does CRS give them?
$2.7 million.
In what year?
And that was in 2012.
Now, let's sort of turn around from the other direction. If you were to ask the leadership of CRS how possibly that grant of nearly $3 million to an organization that promotes contraception is justified by a Catholic organization, what kind of argument would they give?
I can give you the argument that they actually gave.
Okay, that's good. Go ahead.
On June 19th, 2013, CRS put up an article that says CRS responds to questions about funds to PSI. And they ask the question right at the top, why does CRS work with PSI? And they say, to save lives. CRS's association with PSI is all about saving lives and has never included any aspect of family planning. Now, I don't care really.
Now, what does that mean, to save lives? I don't get it. What is PSI doing that's saving lives?
PSI in this particular situation was providing water purification packets and malaria nets. But the problem is that PSI has made absolutely clear in multiple statements that the only reason that they got into the industry of utilizing purification packets or mosquito nets is so that they can get into other areas that they had not.
So it's bait and switch.
Exactly. So that they could then dispense contraception later on.
So they come in with water purification and malaria nets.
Mm-hmm.
And once they get into the community, they start pushing contraception.
That's exactly what they do.
Now, have you had a chance to return comment based upon the CRS statement and say, look, we all know that this is really just a bait-and-switch approach to getting contraception promotion into these parts of the world?
We have. We issued a public letter. We had a letter campaign where we actually wrote letters to the bishops across the country saying, please, Your Excellencies, make them stop. And CRS's response was basically, we already responded to this. This is old information, and pointed back to their June 19th, 2013 statement.
The listeners, you ought to know I'm talking with Michael Hitchborn from the American Life League. He's been there in 2007. And someone I've known and worked with for quite a while now, although he's a slightly better dancer than I, not too much. I only say that because there was a time in his young life when he taught professional dance, and he's married with five kids, a graduate of Christendom. So many good people have come out of there over the years. I have a little bit of a difficulty, Michael, believing that an institution like Catholic Relief Services that is so well respected. They even have a second collection devoted to CRS every year?
There is a particular collection that they have every year for CRS, and they've also got the Operation Rice Bowl, which you might see them every Lent, where they put out a little rice bowl, and you're supposed to fill the rice bowl with money over the course of Lent, and then return the money at the end of the season. And that's also a part of their annual collection.
Well, if you were to sort of drill down into this $600+ million budget, and of which $427,000 is government supplied, what percentage of their budget is actually going toward things like contraception, promotion, abortifacient use, and so forth? Is this a large section of what they're doing with their money?
Well, that's kind of the question of the hour. I can tell you that from the grants that they gave in 2012, 86% of CRS's domestic grants went to organizations that are directly facilitating abortion and contraception.
What percentage?
86%.
Well, that's very troubling.
Well, yeah. 2012, I've got the report right here.
And did you bring that up with Ms. Wu at CRS?
Yep. And she assured me that there's no fungibility issue, that the money only went to very specific projects, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But what's fascinating about her statement is that in 2008, CRS actually issued a letter to PEPFAR, which is the President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Reduction.
Now, give our listeners just another sentence or two on the importance of this organization.
PEPFAR? Okay, PEPFAR, it's all about fighting HIV/AIDS. It was started under President Bush in 2004 and has since been taken over by the Obama administration, and now is primarily focusing on condoms and condom promotion and that kind of thing. It's also extended into the promotion of contraception. But so Catholic Relief Services has received a lot of money from PEPFAR, but in 2008, once the Obama administration came in, there was this idea put forth by Congress that they were going to change the rules of PEPFAR so that they would be integrating reproductive services and family planning into all of the PEPFAR projects. Now, the interesting thing is that because that was going on in Congress and because Catholic Relief Services has needed to maintain this separation with conscience in order to receive the money and then use it ostensibly for non-contraceptive projects, They issued a letter to Congress saying, we cannot integrate our HIV/AIDS projects with organizations that provide contraception and abortion. Now, my question is, what changed?
Right.
Because now,
I mean, it's sort of like what you said with CCHD, that the rules change, but you're not quite sure if the practice changes.
Exactly. I mean, they say that they can't integrate their projects with organizations that provide contraception and abortion, but in 2000...
But they are.
Yeah.
and is it deniable? I mean, is it deniable that they're doing that?
No. No, in fact, they've doubled down and said, well, we have to do this.
Now, why do they have to do it?
They say that it's because of the way the grant works. It's a it's what they call a pass-through grant. So the U.S. government says, Catholic Relief Services, you're going to be the primary grant recipient for this particular project. And mm-hmm. give them just a ton of cash. They say, but as a requirement of this grant, you must give amounts to this group and this group and this group and this group.
Now, this, by the way, is exactly what I want to focus on when we come back from break, how the effect of taking 70% of your incoming support, financial support from the federal government, will erode the mission of a Catholic organization. I'm talking with Michael Hitchborn from the American Life League, and we will be back just after this break. Talking with Michael Hitchborn from the American Life League about the situation at Catholic Relief Services, where 70% of their $600+ million budget comes from governmental sources, and that the kinds of grants that are made to them by the government, called pass-through grants, requires that they then turn around and make grants to organizations that themselves promote contraception, abortion, and so forth. But the question becomes, Michael, is it fair to say then that Catholic Relief Services is supporting that, or could it even be say they're actively doing it themselves?
When the pass-through grant is made,
pass-through grant, right?
Yeah, the pass-through grant is made that the money is specified for a project that would not otherwise have been undertaken by the grantee, the organization receiving the money, and so therefore cannot be used for contraception and abortion, et cetera. But the problem is, as any economist knows, once you hand money to an organization, regardless of what it's for, that money becomes fungible. And certain budget allotments are then freed up in order for them to facilitate the spread of contraception or abortion or whatever other projects they have in mind elsewhere. On top of that, you have a scandal factor that cannot be translated into dollars. Because what happens is Catholic Relief Services, by working with an organization like CARE or Save the Children, which are out there, and everybody in the industry knows these organizations are pushing contraception in a major way. In fact, CARE International is working with Marie Stopes International.
Which we all know is one of the worst of the worst.
It's Planned Parenthood, major competitor.
Right.
But CRS, by working with these folks, is giving the impression to people on the ground that these organizations are okay. Hey, we're Catholic, and we're working with this organization who's and all we're
they're giving them the water. CRS is giving them the good housekeeping seal of approval, right?
Absolutely. That's exactly what's happening. So, you know, then when CARE or Save the Children come back for a different project, because now they've got access to these people they didn't have access to before, they can hand them condoms and contraception, and the people will say, well, Catholic Relief Services said they were okay, so I guess they're okay.
Well, they said they're okay in the sense that they gave them money to
and
do work
on the ground, yeah.
They have, and these people on the ground have no idea what kind of rules or directives on paper, were included in the deal, because the people on the ground, all they see is an organization funded by the Catholic Church.
Yes.
And if that organization hands out contraception, then it must be okay with the Catholic Church.
I mean, that's the nature of scandal, you know.
Now, Michael Hitchborn from American Life Legal, I'm going to try to pin something down here.
Sure.
Are you saying that the promotion of, so let's just say, contraception and abortifacient contraception, is being done by organizations funded by the Catholic Relief Services? Or are you saying it's being done by Catholic Relief Services personnel themselves, or by both?
I can't say for certain that it's happening from Catholic Relief Services personnel themselves, but I will say that Catholic Relief Services hires an awful lot of people from organizations like Population Services International and CARE and Save the Children. And
so there's a pattern of commingling of personnel.
Sure. I mean, they hire their people, they hire CRS's people, and so they all work in the same industry. And, you know, CRS says, well, we have a set of guidelines that we abide by, and all the employees sign a handbook that says that we know that CRS's policy is not to involve ourselves with abortion and contraception. But the fact of the matter is that they have a revolving door of people coming in who are working for abortion-promoting organizations. Now, with that in mind, we have actually found CRS documents where they talk about the dispensation of contraception, specifically condoms primarily. For instance, there was an evaluation that took place in India of one of CRS's projects called PANI, and I don't remember what it stands for. But the PANI evaluation, which was written by CRS personnel, complained that the people who were implementing the project didn't know enough about condom use and weren't talking enough about condoms, and weren't talking about how condoms are so effective.
Are you saying the CRS personnel themselves were saying this?
Yes. Yes.
Now, did you present this to Ms. Wu at CRS?
I did, and she said that she would look into it, and that was the last I heard on that.
But, of course, she could then come back and say, well, that was just an isolated incident.
She could say that, but we found the same thing with a document from Vietnam. Here's another example of the problem with CRS personnel. There's somebody who works for Catholic Relief Services. He's an on-the-ground director in Cambodia. His name is Dr. Sok Poon. Dr. Sok Poon is on the steering committee of an organization, a national organization called Medicam. In 2011, he participated in a policy paper that set the policy for the organization of Medicam. And I actually have a copy of the meeting minutes where they discussed what they were going to do with their policy, and they said, we need to train abortion providers so that they can perform safe abortions. We need to tell people where they can go get abortions. We need to increase the amount of IUDs and other abortifacient contraceptive devices and drugs. And we need to educate everybody on the use of condoms and contraception so that we don't have so many children. That was in the policy paper minutes. There was not a single objection to any of that. All of it made it into the actual policy paper for Medicam. And Medicam is out there on the ground now, today, spreading abortion in a way that would make Planned Parenthood envious.
Well, that's a huge statement. And, you know, you have this information. You have it completely documented. There is no deduction happening here. There's no deducing of conclusion. This is information that you have right before your eyes, and you can give it to people who don't believe you. You know, if the evidence is so clear and so unambiguous, you know, why wouldn't there be changes overnight? If this is supposed to be a Catholic institution, and if it's coming directly under the supervision of the bishops, I think most Catholics would wonder, why is this being countenanced?
You know, I wish I could answer that. I actually don't know. I don't know if it's a philosophy that they have over there, that they just have to do these things in order to help the poor, kind of like offering a pinch of incense, or if they are ideologically attached to the idea that contraception does help fight poverty. I don't know.
Well, they can't be attached to that, because that would be dissent.
It sure would. And I won't say can't, but I would say I hope that that's not the case.
Well, but are you afraid to speculate? You don't want to get in trouble or what? What is holding you back here, Michael?
Well, what's holding me back is that I don't have proof that CRS is indeed, or people at CRS are indeed ideologically linked to the spread of contraception or abortion.
Well, do they, who do they work with internationally?
You mean who do they partner with?
Yes.
Oh,
in the Catholic Church.
Oh, well, they say that within the Catholic Church, everywhere that they operate, they're operating with the local diocese. Now, Steve Moser over at Population Research Institute said that they went into Madagascar, where there was some concern about CRS's projects there, and a couple of bishops, even the archbishop there, told him that CRS never once approached them to talk about the projects that they were undertaking, and in fact, one bishop threw CRS out of a meeting because they wanted to put a big USAID banner behind him, and he said, look, USAID spreads contraception. I'm not going to do it. And he tossed him out.
Is there an international equivalent or a Vatican equivalent of Catholic Relief Services?
Well, there's the umbrella group, which is Caritas Internationalis. Caritas is the Vatican-run entity that encompasses all of the international aid agencies of the church. So you've got CRS in the United States, you've got KFOD over in Europe, you've got the CIDSE, which I don't remember what that stands for, you've got TROCARE in Ireland, Catholique, Secours Catholique in France. So all of these are international aid agencies that function under the auspices of Caritas Internationalis, and CRS answers at least in part to them.
And are these problems duplicated internationally? I mean, is the same thing going on in these other groups around the world?
Sure. For one thing, Caritas Internationalis is a major proponent of something called the Millennium Development Goals, which was a population control program roughly disguised as a poverty reduction program back in 2000. It's a UN project.
Now, is this still ongoing at the UN?
It is. In fact, their goal is to reduce poverty by half in 2015. And, of course, 2015 is next year, and I don't
think that is not happening.
Half. Yeah. But, you know, Caritas Internationalis has a whole website. It's called CaritasMDG2015.org. The whole thing is all about promoting the Millennium Development Goals. What they don't mention is that some of the goals include spreading reproductive health services throughout the world, which also includes abortion and contraception. But they don't talk about that part. They
but,
say,
wait a minute. And you're telling me this is an official Catholic relief social services organization out of the Vatican, correct?
Yes. Cardinal Maradiaga is the current head of Caritas Internationalis.
And, okay, now if you ask His Eminence, how can you be supportive of Millennium Goals when they include these factors, would he just say, well, we don't support that part of it, but we support the rest? Is that what they would say?
I think that that's probably what he would say. But the problem is that they never once raise any concerns about the fact that the Millennium Development Goals do include those things.
And so they don't fight the fight in terms of the principles involved?
No. They say that they do. I mean, CRS says, well, you know, the only reason that we're a part of Medicam is so that we can give a Catholic voice to the rest of the organization, which is like saying, well, we need a seat at the table of Planned Parenthood so that we can give a Catholic voice to the standard days method of family planning. It doesn't really work because, for one thing, they don't care.
Right.
For another thing, even if they did, all they would do is incorporate the standard days method into another contraceptive mentality and use it as a vehicle to promote other forms of contraception and abortion.
Now, the issue of, I know in your research on Catholic relief and social services organizations nationwide and also around the world, you keep bumping up against this Millennium Goals document. But is it something that is still relevant to the discussion? I mean, is it still the roadmap of the population control crowd?
I think that the Millennium Development Goals is kind of, it served its purpose. They're trying to up it to 2020 or to 2025, but it's being supplanted by other things like the Gates Foundation's Family Planning 2020 Summit, which ironically had some CRS employees participating. So, you know, the problems are all around, and we keep unearthing new things all the time. I found that Catholic or Caritas Internationalis is a part of the international council of this thing called the World Social Forum, which is just an absolutely rotten organization that's out there promoting abortion and homosexuality and all sorts of other stuff.
Well, and when is there anything in principle wrong with Catholic officials attending conferences like this just to sort of see what's going on and to be up to date in their understanding?
Yeah, I mean, for one thing, the Vatican is an observer at the United Nations, and so as an observer, it has the ability to kind of keep an eye on what the world temperature is. And so if you were to say that you wanted to be present at this meeting because you wanted to see what the opposition is doing, that's one thing. But to be an active participant and giving presentations on poverty reduction through fertility rate reduction is something else entirely.
It's another thing entirely because it is the appearance of scandal? Is that what you're saying?
Well, it's the appearance of scandal, but I mean, what we found with the Family Planning Conference is that somebody who later became an employee at Catholic Relief Services was either an active participant or somebody who made a major contribution to a presentation that was all about how fertility rates, reduction in fertility rates helps in reducing poverty rates as well.
Well, this has been going on. I'm talking with Michael Hitchborn from the American Life League about his many years of research into Catholic organizations, official Catholic organizations that offer relief around the world in times of tragedy, but also ongoing support to help the poor and the vulnerable. And what he has uncovered is a consistent pattern of Catholic organizations working very closely and often appearing to support programs of population control that include abortion, contraception. Did this happen overnight, or was it something that just crept up on us?
I don't think it happened overnight. I mean, I think that CRS originally back in the 50s and the 60s was a very, very, very good organization doing exactly what it was intended to do. I think that over time, as it started accepting government money, which always comes with strings attached, the philosophy started to shift. And I hate to say it, but I think that in 1990, when Ken Hackett took over as president of Catholic Relief Services, the philosophy of CRS started to shift as well, because that's when you start to see an inverse proportion of government funds coming into CRS over and above what is being contributed by pew-sitting Catholics.
Of course, but he could argue that he just wanted to do more good. And he could argue that, well, this money was being given out, and
sure.
So why not, why shouldn't Catholics, since they're paying taxes too, you know, why shouldn't they have part of it?
I'm sure his $500,000 a year salary probably helped that too.
Now, let's not, let's not worry about that.
Okay.
The point to be made is that And this is something that people like Rick Santorum and others have raised over the years, that when a Catholic organization is taking in well over half of their budget from governmental sources, then the Catholic identity of an organization is going to suffer. It's just an inevitability. Would you agree with that?
Completely.
You, and of course, you're the one who has, in fact, as it were, shown that to be the case.
Well, you know, my grandmother used to have a saying when I was growing up that if you're going to play in the mud with white gloves, the mud doesn't become glovy.
It doesn't work the other way around, in other words.
No.
And have you, I mean, certainly you have found bishops, because I know from talking to you over the years that you've talked with many bishops about this. Many bishops have gotten very concerned, have they not?
Sure. In fact, last year at the USCCB meeting, Archbishop Naumann, during the annual USCCB meeting, asked Bishop Kikinas if it was possible for CRS to adopt similar guidelines to what the CCHD had adopted so that they were not giving money to organizations that provide contraception and abortion. And the answer, unfortunately, was to dodge around and make excuses as to why it's not the same with CRS as it is with CCHD, and how CRS, in order to operate in doing the tasks that they do, they have to accept all this government money, which means that they then in turn have to give money to these other organizations. And what's interesting about it is that even though CRS is saying that they have to do this, they have to work with these other organizations, you've got organizations like Cross Catholic Outreach, who has almost the same donor base as CRS is in terms of pew-sitting Catholics, but they don't accept government money, and as a result, they also don't get involved in these entangling relationships with organizations like CARE and Medicam and Save the Children.
So the argument was, the government has set up the grant-making rules by which CRS, the only way in which CRS can receive government money.
Yes.
So CRS, if it wants to receive this 70% of their budget from the government, they can't do any sort of Catholic filtering out of organizations.
That's exactly right.
And do you think that, you said it was Archbishop Naumann, right, brought this up?
It was Archbishop Naumann. Mm-hmm.
Do you think that he would argue that it would be better off not to get the money, not, you know, just to give it up?
I think that that is the growing sentiment of the sentiment of a growing number of bishops now.
That it's better just to sort of take our losses and start over. Is that a good way to put it?
Just do what Catholics do and not worry about the rest of what the world wants us to do. And if that means that we don't accept government money, then so be it. I mean, we do what we...
Well, what about all the good work that you could say that's being done with that $500 million?
Oh, I'd say that it's being undermined by a lot of the money that is then being given to organizations that are countermanding the good work by saying, okay, now that we've saved your lives and given you food for your bellies, you need to start contracepting and aborting your babies.
So you say that the opinion on whether or not it is a good idea for Catholic organizations like CRS to take government money and thereby face the challenge of holding on to their Catholic identity, that the opinion is growing that it's not worth that challenge.
I do think that that is a growing sentiment, yes.
So do you think there will be change in the future, Michael?
I think that the fact that Archbishop Coakley was appointed, and this is actually kind of an interesting chain of events. Archbishop Coakley was appointed by Archbishop Kurtz, who's the new president of USCCB,
that's right,
to be the chairman of Catholic Relief Services. This is unprecedented in a certain sense, because typically what would happen at a USCCB meeting, they would meet, and then the body of the USCCB would vote on who the bishops would be on the board of CRS, and then from there, the bishops on the board of CRS would vote and appoint a new chairman. But instead, when the changes were made at this last meeting, Archbishop Kurtz, as one of his very first actions, appointed Archbishop Coakley as the new chairman of Catholic Relief Services. And I have a lot of hope, because he has a very strong reputation as being very faithful to the church and having a great love for the poor and the unborn, and for the salvation of souls, which means he's very strongly against contraception as well. So I think that with that appointment, we are seeing maybe a shift in the way of thinking that the bishops have with regard to how to handle CRS. The question is CRS willing to change?
Well, I think we're all in agreement that the idea of Catholics having a relief service, of being able to come to the assistance of people when they suffer cataclysmic events, such as we've seen so many of in recent years, and to help and to show the Catholic face of compassion and care for the stranger and so forth, is something we should be doing. The question becomes, can't we do it without compromising some of our most important principles? And can we let go of money if necessary? If the government forces us to let go of some of their grants, shouldn't we be willing to do that? I think that's the fundamental questions, Michael, you've raised. And I want to thank you for being my guest on Church and Culture, and we hope that you'll come back again. Michael Hitchborn, who has been with the American Life League since 2007 and has done outstanding work in researching the work of Catholic service, social service organizations, and how they need to work toward correcting some of the bad habits that have developed over the last 20 years. Michael, thank you for being a guest on Church and Culture.
Thanks so much, Deal. It's been a pleasure.